If I have enough faith, will God heal me? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Light.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Light, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike, and Pete Albinson, thanks for coming in. For those of you who are new with us, Pete is my pastor, and he comes in for a variety of reasons, great answers, good insight, wonderful Bible teacher, but also because he's on the board, and you've got to be nice to board members. And we want to make a statement about Key Life having a high ecclesiology, that we really believe in the church. By the way, we love to have your questions, but you got to write them down. Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Key Life, Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email them to steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address if you would like an answer. You always get an answer from us. And don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number. That's open 24 hours a day, but you can make orders and get a lot of neat stuff or make a contribution. But we do prefer you write the questions down and so that we have them in a solid, hard copy in our files. Enough. Would you lead us in prayer before this thing goes right down the tube?
Oh, Father, we come into our to your presence today. What a privilege it is, Lord, to pray. And, Lord, not to take ourselves so seriously, but to take you seriously and to know that you are the only true God, the one God, our Creator, our Father, our Redeemer. And we honor you and praise you. We're just glad today to be your children because of Jesus. Lord, some of us have a lot of money and some of us don't have much. Some of us have a lot of education and some never finish school. It doesn't matter. We're all yours and we're equal in your sight and dearly loved. So, Father, we come to you today not because we've impressed you, but because you have drawn us and we couldn't stay away. We honor you and praise you. And Lord, we pray that would motivate us to worship you this weekend. As we think of the gospel and how powerful it is in our lives, that we would meet with your people and worship together. So this weekend, Lord, we will meet, and we pray that you would meet us, teach us, and lead us through your leaders that you have duly appointed, and give them strength and wisdom and boldness and love as they proclaim your word. And now we've got some questions, Lord, that we're going to deal with, and we just pray that you would help bring answers to these questions and other answers to our hearts and lives. Thank you for Steve and Key Life, and we pray again for your benediction and blessing upon this ministry. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pete, first question to the email, will God heal us if we have enough faith and turn our sickness over to him?
Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
Sometimes
okay.
Jesus healed people who didn't even know who he was and didn't have any faith in him. And other times
faith is major. Well.
Yeah. So there's no, and I think if I could say one thing on the subject of healing, it would be this: there's no one way that it could be done, and it's all of God. And yet there is miraculous healing. We believe that,
yeah.
And you've experienced it with your daughter, and I've seen it in other people's lives.
You know what? I think it's dangerous sometimes when people assume or make a statement, if you had the right enough faith, if you exercise the right principles, then you will be healed.
Ugh.
Because then if they don't get healed, it makes a very negative statement about that person that may not be true.
That's right. But it's the same kind of principle about Job and his what he was going through. Well, Job, you must have sinned. If you just repent, God will take it away. No, he was in a cosmic test. So it's too simplistic and hurtful, I think.
What do we do with those passages where Jesus says, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, or in John 15, will answer all of your... how do you deal with those kind of things?
Yeah, how do you deal? I don't know.
Well, I think that coming to that place of trust, which is essentially what faith is, means that you desire God's will more than anything else, more than healing.
Mm-hmm.
And so while you could, you won't, simply because you come to a new understanding that he's the king,
mm-hmm.
and he knows best, and you trust him at that point. But I think I do think that faith is an important ingredient. It's also a gift of God.
It is. It is. And we ought to be growing in faith so that we do trust him. And isn't that, I mean, it's not a work. It's a grace. That's what you said.
Yeah.
Sometimes we think if we are more faithful, full of faith, he'll love us more.
And that's why, yeah, or that if we can just work on it a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's why this question presupposes this kind, that there's a faith faucet, and if you can just turn it on,
mm-hmm.
how do you get more faith?
Yeah, you know, that's
get
true.
It from him.
You get it from him. You get it as you immerse yourself in the Word.
Right.
Faith comes by hearing,
yeah.
and hearing by the Word.
Yeah.
But so that's sort of the fever of it, but it comes by humbly being in his presence, I think.
I agree. This is from Ontario, Canada. Is the role of pastors different than that of elders, and if so, how?
Not in our denomination. A pastor is an elder, and an elder pastors, although we do make a difference between ruling elders and teaching elders.
So all pastors are elders, but not all elders are pastors.
Although, you know, wouldn't we say that most elders do pastoring?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But not a paid religious professional.
There you go.
Yeah, right.
I knew where you were going with that. Absolutely. So the ruling elders are those elected by the congregation to serve as elders, along with the teaching elders, who are the vocational ministers.
And that's the way we do that difference by calling teaching and ruling,
yeah.
and making that separation. Is that chiseled in concrete?
No, I don't think so. 1 Timothy 5:17 kind of shows that leaders teach and teachers lead. So, I mean, but those are both roles. Different sides of the same coin.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things about the New Testament is that the church was in its formative stages then.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really, people who are baptistic are congregational in their church polity.
Mm-hmm.
People who are Episcopalian in their church polity, believing in bishops. People who are elder-led, who believe that's the way you ought to do it, that the elder is only a pastor and that deacons are there to hold up his arms and to be the support of deacons. You know, there's justification for all of that.
Yeah, there is.
And so it's nothing is revealed that's absolute about church polity.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain things you can do that will violate it without accountability and certain things mm-hmm. like that, but... Mm-hmm. I don't think that it's absolute.
No, I agree. And that it's sort of like the baptism issue. We fight over, you know, the type of polity or church government that we have as though Scripture really fleshed out the whole thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of freedom. Worship, there's a lot of freedom.
That's true.
Baptism, there is freedom. And we fight because we want to be biblically accurate.
Yeah.
We can't make it all work.
This from Tennessee. Are government leaders really appointed by God?
I love the way you answered it when we kind of went through this.
What?
You said, yes.
Good. Next question. Now, PG, I'm working on 1 Peter now for a series that I'm doing, and it's just so clear you can get around it.
Yeah.
And then there are nuances of that. You say, well, what if you're serving under Hitler? Did Bonhoeffer do the right thing? And you have to say there is a place for civil disobedience to elected leaders or to leaders.
Mm-hmm.
The apostles said we must obey God rather than man, but those are very small, they're exceptions to the rule that all leadership is from God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you have to, you know, Romans 13 also said that government is a minister of God. Use the word minister.
Yeah.
So we ought to take that in consideration.
Yeah. This is from Massachusetts. I believe God doesn't make any mistakes, but how does God, that fit with God being sorry that he created man before Noah's flood?
Well, you have to look at that and say, okay, as we look at the character of God, does God change? No. Scripture says God's immutable. And so you pointed out earlier, this is one of those great words. You impress your friends with this word, anthropomorphism.
What does that mean?
It means it is, anthro comes from the word man, It is a human expression that is attributed to God. And the Bible's filled with anthropomorphisms to help us, by analogy, understand God. As Calvin said, the Bible is God's baby talk.
Yeah.
As he accommodates to our definitely lower level.
That doesn't mean that what is said is inaccurate.
Right.
Because it is accurate from human standpoint.
Yes, yes. In the general parameter of the meaning of that
yeah.
text. So was he sorry? Was he sad? Yes. But does that mean that he said, whoops, I made a mistake?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, good. How can I explain the Trinity to children and teenagers?
That's yours.
From Rhode Island.
That's yours.
You can't without being a heretic. You know, working at a theological seminary can be really dangerous to one's comfort zone. Because about everything you say about the Trinity is some kind of heresy. You know, there's modalism, and, you know, you can hardly explain it even to adults. I mean, we know it's true. We know the Bible teaches 3-1-1-3.
Mm-hmm.
We do not believe in three gods, but we do believe that they're separate persons.
Right.
And because the Bible says that. The Bible clearly teaches that sort of thing. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. God is the Alpha and the Omega, the Father, the covenant God. And how many Alphas are there and how many Omegas? There's only one first and one last. So the Holy Spirit is referred to as God, God's Spirit. Jesus said, I am the Father. Well, you just go on and on. The Bible is replete with that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start trying to be theological,
mm-hmm.
and explain this and to put it in language that works so people can kind of get a grasp of it, it's hard to do without being a heretic.
You're right.
And they burn heretics, so I'm not answering this question.
Especially in our denomination.
Would it be all right to say to a child, just as steam, it waters in three forms, ice and water and steam, that's the Trinity. It wouldn't, would it?
Every analogy breaks down as you examine it and say, well, no, because it's the same thing in different forms. And that's the problem. That's the early heresy of the different form of God. So, no, I think it's not a good thing, but it helps to explain it. Like
yeah,
you said,
so I don't think God would be angry if you told yourself that, say, no, honey. This doesn't explain everything. It's really a lot. It's really complicated for even big people.
Yeah.
But this will help you a little bit. And I don't think God gets upset with that.
I don't think. This is where, remember we talked about one other time about the difference between contradictions and mystery. This is one of those.
Good statement. Guys, we're out of here. Be sure and give us the call letters of this great station, by the way, whenever you write or call. One more thing before we go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.